absolutely wild as Vern Gagne's all-star wrestling goes coast to coast and continent to continent. The greatest wrestlers in the world.
He may be an apprentice carpenter, but I guarantee you he is a seasoned ring veteran.
I've been hit with bar stools, bar rags, bar maids.
I'm talking to you!
They're scared that Hulkamania's still running wild.
Oh, yeah. I got a big fat wife and 9 kids at home, and I gotta feed them.
And take a look at Jesse the Body in real life.
Open your hand once if you would.
You want to see it?
This is absolutely unbelievable. Totally, completely out of control. He's coming in over the top. Hey! Look out!
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to AWA Unleashed. We are the preeminent number one podcast dedicated to telling the stories and reliving the memories of what we feel is the best territory in the history of the professional wrestling business. That is the American Wrestling Association. I am the preeminent host, Chris Tubbs. Yes, I shaved, so I'm not the caveman gimmick that I had. But speaking of caveman, hey guys. Oh, me talk wrestling.
Yeah.
Sports entertainment.
Ugh.
Not on this show.
Yeah, it's neither sports nor entertainment. But hey, we digress.
Looking good, Chris. You cleaned up nicely, Pally.
Thank you. Well, somebody during our live stream called me Vince Russo, and I'm like, bro. So I just shut that shit down real quick.
What a horrible thing to do. Who would ever stoop that low?
I know. Whoever, I can't remember who it was. I'm going to have to go back in the annals of whatever it is that we're, you know.
Well, I guess, you know, what's better, being called Vince Russo or John Laurinaitis?
Boom.
Dude, you can't do that when I got my coffee because
I spit. I did it. It's all about the timing.
Let me swallow first. I can't do that. Anyway, guys, we got some housekeeping to do today. We're going to have a no DQ&A where, and I did not update the cry on the scroll, but I'll take care of that here in a minute. So we do have some business to take care of. First of all, guys, we want to thank those that have signed up for our Patreon. We're growing that, and I'm happy. Everybody that has been a part of it so far has really enjoyed it with our live stream and the special access and the watch-alongs. But guys, I'm telling you right now, it's something that I'm very proud of, a lot of the things that we've done. But this, if you're a member of the Pinfall, and I don't know why you guys are on the bottom, but you'll just have to we'll just have to figure that out. There it is, Pinfall Body Slam. I highly recommend the Pinfall level.
Absolutely. Did we lose Chris?
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
No, just because I take myself off screen doesn't mean that I'm not here.
Oh, we thought your audio got cut there.
No, I was silent. I stopped talking.
Well,
let's try that again.
Some bad talent, I guess.
That's what threw us off too, the man.
Oh yeah, I know, right? But no, seriously, like the Pinfall level, you guys, $5 a month. We figure it's highly, highly worth it. You will not be disappointed with all of the extra perks that we're going to give you guys. Go to the link at the bottom of the YouTube description right here. So
yeah, $4.99 a month. That, gosh, the way that fast food prices are going, that's cheaper than a small fry.
Yeah.
Especially from like Five Guys.
Whoa, come on.
Yeah.
Five Guys is awful. I mean, I'm not a fan of Five Guys restaurant. I'm not.
Wow. Overpriced, but we
unless they sponsor us, then I love them.
Selling your soul for a burger.
Dude, I am nothing but a shell. I'm like Wimpy from Popeye. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Welcome to the business.
Hey, yeah. There we go. Also, we've got a new place that you can get AWA Unleashed merch. If you want to be a Slick Mick guy like I am, or you want the updated nipple shirt, the Joe Chupik special, we've got a bunch of different things that we've got at TeePublic, and I'm going to put that on the bottom. So it's just the, you know, the normal housekeeping guys, you know, you kind of know this is what we're doing. We got to shill ourselves because this is the more that we have people support us, the more content we can push out. And exactly. We love doing this. Like, we love it. We love the interaction. There's no downside to this. So if you want to support us again, tpublic.com, user Unleash Plus. And I think they've got specials that are going on quite a bit. So we've got that. We've got the YouTube membership. And it's just a really, really great way to continue to be in the community. Also, our AWA Unleashed fans page. Sign up for that on Facebook if you're still doing the Facebook thing. All right. Before we get to the Q&A here, guys, I know our taping schedule, it varies from week to week. And last week was a tough week because things come in threes. And prior to the passing of the individual that you're going to talk about, we had already put this in the can. We had already recorded it. But we have to do right by one of the best in the history of the AWA. We've got to acknowledge that. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Nick.
Last week, the day we taped, the very next day we got word that a man that we had talked about on the air and put over and said he was alive and well and et cetera, Butcher Vachon. We got word that, God love him, we got word that Butcher had passed away. And the first thing I want to do is somebody out there, one of our viewers, one of our listeners, took us to task for allegedly missing the fact that Butcher Vachon passed away. And how could we talk about Virgil and not mention Butcher Vachon? Well, you dumb. We taped it prior to Butcher's passing, of course, obviously. It was all over social media on the Slick Mick page, on the AWA Unleashed page. So if you would have looked around a little bit, you would have known that, we were in fact aware of it. As you said, Chris, the taping schedule did not allow for us to, you know, go in and make the fix. But enough of putting that other guy over. Let's put Butcher Vachon over. Just a legend in this business. People talk all the time about Mad Dog Vachon. He's the guy that they remember. And then, of course, there's Vivian and, by extension, Luna. Butcher Vachon wrestled everywhere in the world for I don't know how many years, and he attained great, great success everywhere he went. If you had the opportunity to meet with Butcher at Cauliflower Alley Club, soft-spoken, wonderful, big-hearted guy, beautiful singing voice. He used to entertain the people at Cauliflower Alley Club. And this was a tough one, you know, on the heels of Ole Anderson, Chris Markov, Virgil, and then we lose the Butcher. Godspeed, Butcher Vachon. Thank you so much for being the person you were.
It seems to be a continuing and ongoing sadness of a saga of every week we're losing another legend, another wrestling legend, another AWA legend. And it's sad. It's unfortunately a part of life. But hopefully through AWA Unleashed, we can keep their memories alive. Sometimes it's going to be a delayed because of the taping schedule, but that aside, that's why we're here, to keep alive the memories of the AWA. I mean, it's been 33 years since the AWA closed its doors, November of 91. 33 years. The fact that Mick, you and I can still remember shit is I'm thankful for that. But, you know, aside from that, Butcher, thank you for the memories of being scared watching you as a 5-year-old kid with you and your little chihuahua brother, Maurice Mad Dog, We had a, you know, I still find it funny. Mad Dog was, you know, height-wise, there was a very vast difference. But Butcher, thank you very much. Rest in peace. I can only imagine what those two are doing nowadays. they're chasing tails. They're, and not just their own, I'm sure.
Well, that's the reason for the podcast, though, guys, is for, you know, people like me who didn't get a chance to see Butcher Vachon. And I hear the name, I know the name, but I'm not familiar with him, because a lot of us, we knew Mad Dog because he was more popular, and we knew Luna. I mean, we didn't really know Vivian or Butcher, a lot of the other, you know, Vachon family. We're kind of learning as we go. So, yeah, it's another tough one, but hopefully this is just a way to continue to educate people like me.
Well, and I can't emphasize enough what Joe said too about the importance of this podcast. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the dwindling numbers in the AWA. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you lose three more. And it's just that number is down to probably four or five from the 1960s that are still with us. And that's insane. So this is your vehicle, folks, to relive those memories of the AWA. Hop on board.
Yeah, and hopefully we can bring back some of those good memories of, I have to say, of our youth, because 33 years going back to the 70s, that's even 40 plus years. Memories of our youth, memories of our childhood. And that's what this show is a big part of for me. I didn't start with the AWA until 1985. And had the pleasure and the honor of working for the AWA. But my memories go back, as I've said before, the very first main event I ever saw at the old St. Paul Auditorium, Mad Dog and Crusher in a cage match, and I was hooked. Here I am, 50 some years later. Yep, I'm still talking AWA wrestling. And I love it.
Well, let's do it.
Let's get into this, guys. These are about the memories for you guys that you have questions for Mick and Joe. And let's get into it, guys. Question one for the entire crew from Nate Silverman. Love the podcast. Puzzled as to why more people didn't vote for Crusher and Bruiser as the all-time greatest AWA tag team. I've gotten this question a few different times. So, Nate, great question. What say you guys? How come they were persona non grata?
Generational. Crusher and Bruiser in their heyday, you're going back to the 1960s, early 1970s. By the time a lot of our viewing audience caught on and grabbed the bus and rode along, Crusher and Bruiser were way past their prime. But I am here to tell what a great shot this is. I believe this was in Japan. Crusher and Bruiser. What I will say is that with all the talk about the Road Warriors, and with all due respect to Joe and Mike, in their heyday, and I'm not talking about late 80s, but in their heyday, 1960s, Crusher and Bruiser would have posed a serious in-ring threat if the Road Warriors tried to get cute. I think it's generational. Crusher and Bruiser got their votes, but not quite enough. But legendary, legendary tag team.
The thing that I loved about Crusher and Bruiser is they were the guy sitting down at the saloon at the end of the bar having a cocktail. They were as blue collar as it got. And Nate, I agree with you that I was surprised that they didn't get more votes either, but I got to agree with you too, Mick. Generational, you know, you start losing out on the memories, especially when all you can really see of them is in videos. But if you'd have seen them live, Crusher and Bruiser were just really, really good. Entertaining beyond... They were special. I'm just going to leave it at that. And by the way,
and they look, I mean, that's what people remember. Wrestlers are the tough guys who would mess you up if you tried to challenge them in any way, shape, or form. I feel like those are two guys that I would not want to mess with.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. You know, they came from a generation where, you know, they didn't even wait for you to mess with them. if the itch got them and they were at the Flame Cafe in Minneapolis, and you looked at them cross-eyed, well, you would be cross-eyed for about a week.
All right, let's get to our next one here, guys. This is for me from Marcy Berman. Have I ever considered getting gorgeous Jimmy Garvin on the show? Awesome in his AWA days and beyond. I would love to get Jimmy Garvin on the show.
Oh.
Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Jimmy and Precious. And I think, you know, some people, again, in my age group, we vaguely remember him from the AWA. But to me, gorgeous Jimmy was really more of a thing in the NWA and WCW when he was a member of the Freebirds. So I would love to get gorgeous Jimmy on the show. Absolutely would love to get Jimmy Garvin on the show.
I think Jimmy Garvin in the scheme of things is one of the great entertainers in the AWA. And I mean that in a positive light, not a sports entertainer. He was, he could wrestle, he could go, he could talk people into the building. And there he is with Patty, his wife, and that picture of them in the early days and then more current. I agree. I'd love to get Jimmy Garvin on the show.
And they both, they still look really, really good.
They do. Absolutely. Yep. I would love to get him on. What a talker.
And still together.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let alone the business, but just in real world, you know, for a couple to stay together, but to do that, living through professional wrestling, give them kudos. And yeah, it would be great to have them on. And to steal a phrase from gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, if we're not able to, it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
There you go.
Let's do what we can to make that happen. For you, Mick, from Andy Farmer, a while back, you posted a video on your Facebook page of Kurt Hennig threatening Lance Russell during Kurt's AWA feud with Jerry Lawler. As an announcer yourself, where do you rate Lance Russell's TV work?
I thought Lance Russell was spectacular. Understated. There are those who say Gordon Solie was the greatest of them all. I think Lance Russell, and look at that picture. God, I love that. Look at the older Lance looking at a picture of the younger Lance. I thought Lance Russell in his Memphis days was just terrific. And I've said so many times, if you want to see a great promo, go back and watch that Kurt Hennig getting ready to assault Lance Russell on Memphis television when Kurt was down there in his AWA days. Jerry Lawler comes in to make the save. Lance Russell, one of the all-time greats, no doubt about it.
A throwback to what professional wrestling used to be. And that is a sport, and that's the way Lance approached it. Came across as understated, but it worked so damn well. To tie it back into the AWA, I'm going to compare him, I guess, to a Marty O'Neill type.
There you go.
Yep. You know, just very a sports broadcaster, not an over-the-top. I say this respectfully to Mean Gene Okerlund because he was one of the greatest of all time, where, you know, Gene developed into more of a character. Right. You know, he went from Gene Okerlund to Mean Gene Okerlund, where a Lance Russell and a Marty O'Neill were just two guys calling it as they saw it and did it as a sports caster, not a wrestling announcer.
Calming influences at the microphone. That was it.
Yep. And one thing I love about the territory days, guys, is everywhere, and Mick, you would know this being, you know, one of the, you know, ring announcer and a broadcaster for the AWA, is everybody has got their guy, and you don't touch our guy. And that was kind of like Jerry Lawler with Lance Russell. Like Jerry Lawler, ultimately, Lance Russell was the voice of Memphis wrestling. Everybody tells the story for their territory, and Lance Russell was the guy that told that story. And if you ever wanted to get Kurt really over as a villain, you mess with Lance Russell.
That's it.
And I mean, it's like you you can't bash our guy. We can talk bad about our guy, but you can't talk bad about our guy.
You hit it right on the head, you know, and I'm thinking back, Chris, I know we'll move on here. Don Morocco and Gordon Soley did kind of the same thing down in Georgia Championship Wrestling. Morocco was a heel, and he went after Gordon Soley. Roddy Piper had to come out and make the save. But Gordon Soley, for a lot of people, was their guy. So you're right. It's the innocent announcer being picked on by the asshole heel, and it works every time. Mm-hmm.
This one for you, Joe, from Kevin Murlowski. You mentioned off camera, Larry Nelson was quite the party guy. You guys have also referenced his orgasmic response to the blaster breaking down the studio wall. How is Larry to work with?
Great question.
Phenomenal. An absolute pro. I've said it 100 times. I would be counting him down to finish up an intro or an interview thinking, Larry, you better hurry up. You got to do it. I'll comment about this photo in a second. But Larry would hit it every single time. It's like, how in the hell? You got 5 seconds left and you got 3 topics to still fit in. And he would still do it. Now, this was from our AWA Superstar show. We only aired, I think it was about 13 or 14 markets. That's the Eric Bischoff Ninja Stars. And I'm guessing, yeah, you see a few of the stars. We may have had a little fun and thrown them back and forth. And then the broken boom box from a guy who shall remain nameless. But no, Larry amazed me. He truly amazed me, knowing what he had done the night before, which might have had, you know, included a scotch or 10 with whatever else he might have done. He would come in, look frazzled. I knew that he was partying the night before, whether by himself or with somebody. But that light went on and Larry performed. He was so damn good. If he would have been about a foot shorter, I think Larry would have had an even better and longer career in professional wrestling. He was just too damn tall.
Great guy.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's go to the next one for you, Mick, from Steve Nagy III. All kidding aside from his 217-pound gimmick, what do you think Buddy Rose actually weighed at his peak? And do you think his weight led to his early passing?
Well, of course it did. There's no doubt about it. And I know the picture that we're going to put up right now it's almost stunning. This was later on.
I got to admit this picture, when I saw it, it just made me sad. It makes me really, really sad.
Well, you know, Paul Perchman, Buddy Rose, and I go back to when he was training to get into the business, and he weighed 180 pounds and he was doing everything that he could just to crack that 200 pound mark. This was after Buddy had really retired from active competition, but he would still make an appearance on an independent show once in a while. That's Jimmy Snuka, actually, that he's wrestling in that picture, small show. If you look at that shot,
but I almost thought it was Robert Gibson at first.
Yeah, it does look like him. You know, if you look at that picture of Paul and then you think of him when he first broke in, and even in his AWA days, he's got to go 450, 500 pounds there. And it's so sad. He had his demons. I love the guy, but I would just like to, you know, wring his neck, because he should still be here. And, kind of let his diabetes get away with him. He lived the life. He lived the Playboy Buddy Rose lifestyle, and it cost him. But yeah, I agree with you, Chris. That picture, that is really, it's an eye-opener, and it's depressing.
Too many blocks of cheese and gallons of chocolate milk, I think, Mick.
There you go, right there. God love him.
Let's go to the next one here. For me, from Donald J. Hill, first-time question here. When are you guys going to get the greatest of them all on the pod? Speaking of milk, the milkman, Jake Milliman. I was a big Jake Milliman mark. Like, he was the number one baby face for me because of the team challenge series. I will fully admit I was all on that Jake Milliman bandwagon. I legit love Jake Milliman. I know we've talked about wanting to get him on. As far as I know, Mick, the condition at times won't allow him to be on because of health reasons. But if we could ever find that window, it would have been, well, not would have, I'm not going to talk about it in past tense. It would be great because Jake Milliman was the fucking man and nobody can tell me otherwise.
Jake Milliman, the man with no neck. You know, Roger Kent said you don't have to pile drive Milliman. He'll do it himself. He's literally one of the nicest guys I've met in the business. And we would dearly love, we talked about this among the three of us, to get Jake on the show. He has had a myriad of health concerns over the years. I'm not sure that his heart is really in appearing on a podcast. I've heard from some of his friends who kind of verified that. But boy, the stories Jake the Milkman Milliman could tell. He was an old football player. I mean, Jake actually played football. I'm not sure if he was the football itself or you know, what he did. He certainly got kicked around as many times as the football. But what a guy, still living in the Wisconsin area. And Jake, if you're listening to the show, we love you. Give it some thought.
Hopefully his health gives Jake a break. If he is able to come on the show, maybe we can scrounge up a few bucks between the three of us and give him a gift certificate for a turkey. He can put it on a pole again.
Boy, why would you even reference? Wow.
It was a part of history.
That's the thing, Joe. Yes.
History, whether good, bad, or otherwise. Yeah. But when people, a lot of people, and not everybody, when you think of Jake the Milkman Milliman, one of the first things is the turkey on a pole match.
Yeah, absolutely. It,
for better or for worse, that's what Jake is remembered for.
That's part of his legacy.
Between that and Jesse giving Jake the break, and you know, I think that was that's about it. But what a guy. Yep. We'll get him on here.
This is for you, Mick, from Myra Christensen. My brother was a member of the Nick Bockwinkel fan club. He wanted me to ask you if deep down, if Nick really appreciated all of your hard work, despite his sarcasm. And I've seen this, for the record. I love this next picture. I just think this is great. And maybe you can read this to people.
Well, this was an autograph that Nick gave to my son, actually, at an event, and it says, "To Brett, because of your dad, how I have suffered for years, it was my pleasure." And I think that really speaks to the relationship I had with Nick. I know he appreciated what I did, but you know, he was never going to admit it in public ever. It was always, "You're sick. Why are you doing this? Why are you people coming in to see me? You know, haven't you got a life? Blah, blah, blah." And especially, no, you're not going to get any money to keep the fan club afloat. That was a regular one from Nick, too. But we had a friendship for 44 years. And that said it all right there. And that was kind of the way Nick and I would go back and forth. He would needle the shit out of me. But boy, what I would give to have that happening today.
To have a conversation with Nick, well, first of all, need to have about 2 spare hours of time for what is supposed to be a quick call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, to have a conversation. And Chris and Mick, if I could just do a shameless plug. For those that don't know, I'm a part of Power Town Wrestling. And by the time this airs, yes, this is pre-recorded, Power Town will have announced the Nick Bockwinkel action figure as part of the rebirth of the Remco Series 1. Wow. And do yourself a favor, if you have, well, even if you don't have an interest in buying the figure, go to powertownwrestling.com or look at it on our social media. It is such a fantastic tribute and to the likeness of what Nick Bockwinkle looked like, right on down to his Bockwinkle white jacket, that one of the different jackets that he wore, but just a phenomenal tribute. I was so happy that we were able to do that for our friend, Nick Bockwinkle.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the next one for you, Joe, from Paul Kruger, who is a proud Milwaukeean. I know he was your favorite, but wondering if you personally ever had an opportunity to work with Crusher.
Never met Crusher face-to-face. I've told the story before. The one opportunity that I had to talk with him is when the AWA was revived, at least the AWA library was revived, and Vern asked me to call Crusher to get him to sign a deal. And I was, well, why don't you call him? Well, I didn't know why, but I was going to take advantage of the opportunity. I had Crusher's phone number, so I'm going to call him. And I found out that the reason why, because Vern and Crusher didn't really get along, and Crusher told me as such. And I thought what was going to be a quick phone call, I was able to save it because I told him I did not want to miss out on this opportunity to tell him that he was my favorite growing up and being a Pole, of Polish descent and heritage, that he was my favorite in those regards. That phone call, that what I thought was going to be a short phone call after his first words about Vern, ended up taking about probably 45 minutes to an hour. And by the end of it, I was able to close the deal and get Crusher to agree to, wasn't so much a contract, but just agree that we could do t-shirts and so forth for him. Got off of that phone call and my wife just looked at me and just smiled because she knew that I was a five-year-old kid again, talking to Crusher. I really marked out for that one.
Great story, Joe.
And there's nothing wrong with being a fan. Like, when you get a chance to talk, I feel like it's like, okay, well, you have to be professional about it. You know, everything. It's just, sometimes you can just be in awe of people that you admire. I feel like it's okay.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And, you know, Jim Cornette, when he was at Cauliflower Alley Club, Jim's running around getting autographs from all the legends. I mean, why not? These are our real-life heroes. And anybody who claims they don't have a hero, bullshit. We all do, and I'm not ashamed of it. And you're absolutely right, Chris. It's that's what it's all about.
Well, and especially somebody from your youth, where you are all wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and so forth. That the memories that Crusher gave to me ties not only back into wrestling and my lifelong love of it, but it brought back memories of my mom and my godmother, who would always take me to the matches. And I said earlier today, very first main event, Crusher and Mad Dog, those memories from my youth came rushing back. And I felt the need to tell Crusher that, and I'm thankful that he understood it. I'd like to think that he appreciated it. And, well, the conversation lasted for that much longer, and we just talked old wrestling and so forth during that time. And if a wrestler, for all of the maybe younger wrestlers or any wrestler that's listening, if a fan comes up to you and does that and you don't show them the appreciation, you're doing it all wrong. You're missing out on an opportunity. You really are missing out on what you provided for that person entertainment-wise. Take advantage of it. Acknowledge it. And love it. That's why you got into the business, for people to watch you and appreciate you, whether as a heel or as a babyface. Take advantage of it.
Joe, I did that with Harmon Killebrew, my all-time sports hero, and went up and had the opportunity to thank him and tell him what a part of my youth he was, and just got the smile and the handshake, and it'll live with me forever. So
nice.
Good point.
You're making memories. Yeah. And that's why we do this, is to bring back those memories that hopefully a lot of people have had. This one for you, Mick, from Jeff Sutherland. when you worked with Paul Heyman in the AWA, did you ever envision the impact he would make on the business? And for those that don't know, Paul Heyman is going into the WWE. Whatever you feel about the WWE Hall of Fame is completely irrelevant to this, but did you ever imagine Paul Heyman would have the impact on the business that he did?
No. I knew Paul was talented. I knew he was going to do something in the business. This is early on. Remember 1987, you know, coming in off of Continental Wrestling Association, what have you. I could hear in Paul's voice, and boy, what teachers could you have better than this? Freddie Blassie, Captain Lou Albano, and the Grand Wizard.
That is four of the best managers of all time.
Oh, my God. And a young Paul Heyman. To your point, Chris, and the listener, I knew Paul was a pretty sharp guy when it came to the business. I did not know that he would be as influential as he is today. I would say now behind Bobby Heenan, I don't think anybody has been as good a manager or as influential for as long a period of time in so many capacities as Paul Heyman. This is a well-deserved honor. Paul Heyman is a genius. I know he's got his detractors, but, you know, everybody does. But congratulations, mm-hmm. Paul Heyman. You are, every time he gets on the stick, every time, you never know what you're going to get, and you're always entertained.
So allow me to be an advocate for Paul Heyman.
Well, you are a wise man, Joe.
I did have the opportunity and pleasure to work with him for a brief time when he was with the AWA, brought out the cordless phone. I got to remember, this is, you know, 1987-ish, well before cell phones became mainstream. But working with Paul, I'm with you, Mick. He was very good at that time. I mean, beyond very good. He was extremely good. Could I have envisioned him rising to the heights that he did? No, I'll be honest and I'll say no. Am I surprised? Also, no, because he was that good. He took advantage of it. ECW will forever be a great mark in professional wrestling.
Agreed.
It made its mark. Sad that it didn't stick around and got gobbled
up. It was such a different ECW was so different from WCW and WWF at the time that it was, when I was in college, like ECW was kind of the cult, the underneath. It's like, oh, well, we have to watch this. And you felt like it was, for the first time in years, I felt like wrestling was real in ECW. And I think that's, sorry, I didn't mean to like step on your call there, but I felt like Paul Heyman, he made me feel like it was real.
Absolutely. And, you know, Chris, to your point about how ECW was different, you know, they use the term different animal. I think in ECW's case, it was the animal. And it took a big bite out of the wrestling audience. To Paul Heyman, congratulations, Mazel Tov, Paul. And I'm still waiting for that phone call to go to Philadelphia and do commentary for ECW. But I have a feeling that ship has probably sailed.
Sailed and sunk.
There you go.
Come on. All right. This is for me from Cynthia Herman. Said she's watched wrestling since she was a kid, grew up with the AWA. We mentioned doing a poll on the most charismatic personalities. It would be fantastic. The wrestlers were so much less scripted in the early days. Any idea if a show is in the works? We can do whatever we want.
We know a guy.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
right.
Creative control, right? We can do the show right now if we want.
Hey, we respect you, Booker, man.
Yes. Yes.
I think a show.
I'm a taskmaster. I'm a taskmaster.
Yeah. Oh, man. How?
Keep your mask on.
Boy, that's, you know, I got to say, what a great show that will be when we talk about the most charismatic. Can you imagine putting the dog and Dusty Rhodes and whoever else on that
list?
Put
him right next to Mick Karch and Joe Chupik.
Within the same hemisphere, possibly, but.
We'd be in the doghouse. We'd just stay in there tied to the front porch.
I'm going to put a poll together one of these days, and yes, we'll do it. Absolutely.
Okay. And yeah, we'll have a production meeting. We'll see if we can get that in, you know, get that on the books. Yeah. This is for Joe from Dave Sanchuk. Hopefully I pronounced that right, Dave. What was it like working with two AWA main eventers toward the end of the promotion, Sergeant Slaughter and Colonel DeBeers?
Two pros. They had their gimmicks, despite what you think of the DeBeers, South African racially tinged gimmick. Ed was a pro. He delivered the gimmick. And for the record, I personally didn't like the gimmick, but that's just me. But having said that, he was a pro. He delivered his promos. He was the most hated person in the AWA at that time. And that alone just tells you that he performed, he delivered what he was supposed to deliver. And that was for people to hate him, to be the hated heel. And in this case, go against America's champion.
America's hero.
America's hero. Thank you. G.I. Joe, Sergeant Slaughter. They delivered. On camera, you know, at the end of the run for the AWA, and it sucked, but behind the scenes, I don't have anything bad to say about either of them. They delivered what they were supposed to do, and they did it well.
Spot on.
All right, let's go to the next one here, guys, from Karine ES. And I think this might be the first question that I've seen from her. I know that she comments quite a bit on a lot of things that we do, but I don't know that she's ever actually asked a question. She wants to know concerning the viewer polls. What? No midget wrestlers?
Give us the short answer, Mick.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Wow, man. Well, I tell you what.
Well done, Joe.
I don't know that we have a very large audience that would appreciate the midget. There they are. And you notice you got six guys all fit on one small screen. So that answers part of the question.
I'll make it full screen. No, that
didn't. Oh, there you go. Now there's that made all the difference in the world. I won't even enumerate and you know a lot of them outside of the fact that you got Lord Littlebrook and Sky Lolo on there. Here's what I would say about the midgets, and we've talked about this before. They were a novelty. I'm not talking about anything denigrating their in-ring capability as athletes, because they were good athletes. I could never do what they did, but it was kind of the same thing over and over again with the midget wrestlers. If we took a poll about you know, who's the greatest 10 midget wrestlers of all time, that you might have 12 to choose from. But be that as it may, one story about the midgets, I gotta tell you this. Back
make
in the
it
day,
short.
Yep. Oh, 1970s TV studio, Calhoun Beach Hotel. I'm sitting in the audience, and right next to me is the curtain where the guys stood behind before they came out to wrestle. And the midgets were going to come out. So old smart-ass Karch, you know, again, this is a cloth curtain. I leaned over during a commercial break, and I knew the midgets were back there, and I said, hey, it's time to bring on the wee folk. W-E-E, at which point I don't know which midget did it, pounded his fist against this cloth. I backed away, and I hear, and this is the God's truth, I hear, why don't you go fuck yourself? that was the extent of my interaction with the midget wrestlers. And maybe that's the reason that we haven't had a poll, but Karine, we will take that under advisement, and we'll have a talk about it shortly.
I gotta share one story about the midget wrestlers. Ray, the Crippler Stevens, tells me this story. On occasions, not just once, but the midgets would ride in the trunk of a car, and Ray tells a story, you know, they would pop the trunk open, you know, on the highway or driving through town. And then they would start flipping people off or mooning people. All of a sudden, can you imagine driving behind a car and all of a sudden the trunk goes up and you've got two, three midgets in the back of the car, you know, flipping you off. Well, can I get it down there? Flipping you. And I'm not making fun of, so, you know, please don't think that. But, you know, doing that and then turning around and showing their asses to you. But that's not even the funny part. What Ray and some of the boys would do, they're in the back in the trunk, right? There are no seatbelts. Hell, seatbelts weren't worn in the car back in the day. But Ray tells a story that they would slam on the brakes, and all of a sudden you just heard a bunch of tumbling in the back of the car, and then wow. The midgets going, "God damn it, Ray, stop it, you motherfucker!" But they would get back into the trunk because they enjoyed mooning the people and messing with people on the road. I can see Ray doing that and also hearing the guttural laugh as he is doing it.
It probably sounded like a strike in bowling, you know, when the midgets went all over the trunk of the car. And, you know, I'm thinking, actually, the midgets sounded like Wally Carbo on helium. Now that I'm thinking of it, yeah, what the fuck's about? Yeah, it's pretty. There might be a relation there. I wonder if Wally ever fathered a midget or two.
God, that would be a whole nother show.
Oh, wouldn't it though? Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I out of all of the random stuff that I've heard on this show, that might be the most random thing. An unexpected thing. I did not have that on my Unleashed podcast bingo card. Wally Carbo fathering midgets.
You never know what you're going to get on this show, folks.
When we say this is loosely scripted, we just proved it.
Unleashed. Yes.
I'm sorry. Wow. Got two more questions here, guys. And we got about 15 minutes, a little less than 15. This is for me from Norm Lance. With so many of the AWA stars of the past no longer with us, is there one in particular still out there you'd really like to personally get on the show? Keep up the great work and ignore the nitpickers. This one goes into someone that I all the respect in the world for, but they've done a nice job of kind of moving on to the next part of their life. And I would love to get this individual on because I've got massive respect no matter where they went. I do feel like I don't have the picture up yet, guys, but I'm going to put it up there here in a minute. Former champion. And he was part of the second WWF show that I saw where he viciously attacked his former tag team partner. And that is Rick Martel. But I understand that Rick Martel has kind of stepped away from the business. I completely respect that. But if there's somebody that I could spend some time and talk with, I'm sure Rick Martel has a ton of stories.
No doubt about it. And his AWA stories, of course, which is what we would focus on. That's a great choice, Chris.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to like overlook what he did in the AWA.
Oh, yeah.
I was just trying to fill time until I got the picture.
No, his feud with Stan Hansen, to me, again, I think one of the most underrated feuds in AWA history. It was great. Rick Martel, a consummate performer. You mentioned the fact that he's kind of backed away a little bit. He has, and he's happy doing it, as some of the wrestlers are. Been there, done that, and now I'm going to move on with my life. I will say that I had the opportunity to meet with Rick at Cauliflower Alley Club. Nicest guy. He was just so fan-friendly and accommodating and a terrific individual. Would love to get him on the show, but again, you know, it's Rick's choice. Kind of get away from the business and more power to him.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. There's an AWA Unleashed viewer who it was described earlier in the show as Orgasmic Larry. I'm going to go with Orgasmic Darla when, and she knows who I'm talking about. Hint, Dilly Bars. But she just absolutely loves Rick Martel. So every time I see him, I think of her. But I would love to have Rick on. Mick, you're right. The feuds with Stan Hansen, to me, were so out of character of what Rick Martel was, which was a wrestler. He turned into a brawler out of necessity when he wrestled Stan Hansen, but he did it so damn well. He converted over, and I've said it before as well, I loved him better as a heel. He did that so great, but an overall outstanding talent from A to Z, one to a million.
Great call, Chris.
Yeah. And again, I know it will probably never happen, but I don't think you can give the guy enough respect. And again, to be able to step away and say, hey, I'm going to move on and do something else. And, you know, still looks really good from all the pictures that I've seen. So good for him. Last one here, guys. I want to ask you, this is going to be for me, Mick. And I'm going to ask you this. Is there anyone in wrestling history that legitimately and certifiably drank Andre the Giant under the table? Because we know that Andre liked to, you know, indulge in the beverages every now and then. If so, when and where did this happen?
Well, I know that Joe is shaking his head because that's a short list if you could out drink Andre the Giant. There's no question about that. His drinking was legendary. This man was a walking Hoover Dam as far as the amount of liquid. But there's the guy. There's the guy right there that actually drank Andre the Giant under the table. It wasn't even close. By the time Andre was passed out on the floor, this guy was, I believe, in his 700-800th bottle. And it took place right there at the Croatian Hall in South St. Paul, Minnesota. It's well documented. And the thing of it is, I don't know if he's humble, embarrassed, or just full of shit, but the guy who drank Andre under the table claims he has never been to the Croatian Hall. So there you go. You're always looking for a scoop here on AWA.
You're breaking news, Mick.
We put it out there right there. I recognize the guy a little bit. I've seen him on some wanted posters, not by me, but nonetheless, there is the guy, and he may still be there. He may still be there underneath a table at the Croatian Hall, drinking till his nipples straighten out.
Let me clarify something. I never drank Andre under the table. It was with Andre under the table. Facts is facts.
Wait a minute.
That was all bullshit, too. I never met the guy.
I'm looking at the visual in my head here. It's not a pretty sight. You know, we thought that Wally Carbo fathering midgets was one thing, but the thought of you and Andre under a table drinking together, I just don't know. I mean, that's
Boss, let me tell you something, boss.
Wow. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's facts. And I believe the word certified you put in there, Chris, that it was a certifiable feat by this guy. It is on record. It's in the Guinness book of
Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well done.
Yeah, you're shaking your head, Chupik, but you're legendary, pal. Yeah, you are.
Wow. I would be asleep after a half an hour of trying to drink with Andre. Now, having said that, man, I would have given it a shot. What the hell? Wouldn't have remembered shit.
How many shots would you have given it?
Exactly.
If it was vodka, I'd have been able to keep up with Andre, I think, a little bit longer than if it would have been the beers. But the smart money is going to go on Andre. Sorry.
You know, and Joe, they're still talking about you at the St. Croix Casino in Turtle Lake, by the way. You know, and, you know, the bar that, you know, shut down at 9 o'clock in the evening. They're still talking about you there. You know, even there, pizza, beer, Jack and Coke.
We closed that down.
Was that the table that you and Tubbsy were sitting at with me until closed?
Don't implicate us.
Uh-huh.
You know, you kept that tab for yourself, pal.
Hey, wash that dirty finger, mister.
Boy.
Well, we're going to move on from dirty fingers, and we're going to go ahead and give our shout outs and wrap it up. Next week, we're going to do... This was one that we kind of talked about a couple of, I don't even have the picture up. We've talked about it, but we're going to make it happen. Next week, we're going to do another personality profile here, guys. And I got to admit, I'm excited for that. I like the personality profiles. I mean, wahoo. That's all you need to say. That's next week's show.
One of the greatest, one of the toughest in history. And Joe, of course, has history with Wahoo, working in the AWA area. Yeah, that chop.
Flashbacks.
Yep, still leaving that imprint. And but yeah, this is one we're looking forward to. Chief Wahoo, we're going to talk all about him in his AWA career specifically. Great, tough guy.
That'll be a fun one.
Yep.
All right, let's one more time, guys. I want to go ahead and shamelessly promote before we get out of here. If you have not become a member of our YouTube channel, it's not subscribing. It's becoming a member. Patreon, $4.99 a month. You're going to get the podcast a day early. You're going to get a letter from me along with a sticker and a magnet. You're going to get access to our live streams, which is going to be once a month, and those are invitation only. And then you're also going to get access to our exclusive watch-alongs, which so far we've done a couple of them, guys. They've gone over huge, and we've got special interviews with wrestling personalities and individuals in and around the business. Some of them are only available via the Patreon. So just wanted to let you know it's not going to affect anything that we do weekly. This is just kind of an added bonus. The more people that we have sign up, the more content that we can actually push out.
There you go.
Yeah. We're going to do shout outs.
Yeah, let's do shout outs here, guys. Let me get the banner up here. We got about 3.5 minutes left. And for those that are wondering why I keep track, it's just because I want to make sure that we stay within a somewhat responsible time frame. All right. Go to you, Mick.
Pat Crocker. Longtime viewer, very supportive of us, especially when we get unfairly maligned by some people out there. Pat came running to our defense. So thank you very, very much. We can't tell you how much your support means, Pat and everybody. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, another one is Bill Klein. Love the comments on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming. You know, I try to do my best to comment on any questions that people put on Facebook, answer them there or answer them here. But Bill, thank you very much for your support.
Yep. And mine's going to go to our good friend, Ace Mulligan 70. actually, no, I don't. Fuck that guy. I'm going to go to the next big deal, Travis Bird. Travis, always appreciate the DMs, and you're my real shout-out. As for Ace Mulligan, take a long walk off a short plank, if you will, because we know that is a genuinely shitty thing to say. But nonetheless, I digress. Anything before we wrap it up here, guys?
I want to have the people put this in your head. It's a pick 'em: Wally Carbo fathering midgets or Joe Chupik and Andre the Giant cuddling under a table, having a shot or two, or six, or ten.
Who's the big spoon? Who's the little spoon?